our relationship with the Quran, and what does that mean and what does it entail. There is one hadith, and from that hadith I'll get on into the topic, but so we can understand the seriousness of what it means to develop a relationship with the Quran and what is required from each and every single Muslim when it comes to this book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. A hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, yani this was in his sleep, angels came and they took him onto a journey. Angels came while he was sleeping and they took him onto a journey. And they took him to, yani, to see different types of how people are being punished in their grave and in the fire. So he passes by, it's a long hadith, but I'll take you to the point. They pass him by so many people that are being punished in different forms and in different ways, until they pass him by a person in where he's laying flat on the earth, and a boulder is being picked up by an angel, and it's raised, and then he drops it on his head, and the person's head, يُثْلَجُ رَأْسُهُ, that's the hadith. In other words, his head smashes into pieces, and the boulder begins to roll. And so the angel, by the time he goes, and he picks up that same boulder, and comes back, Allah would have put the head of that person back together. So then he throws it once again, يُثْلَجُ رَأْسُهُ, he says, you can just imagine, it's crushed, and into pieces, it's gone. You can't even identify where the back of his face is from the front of his face. And then the boulder rolls and the angel goes and picks it up, and this is happening until the day of judgment. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with the angels, he sees that. So he says to the angels, what's this? What are we seeing? Who's that person? For they say to him, intaliq, intaliq, let's go. We got more of adab to see, let's go. A long hadith. And they go. Anyway, at the end of the hadith, they sit him down sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they say, now we'll explain to you one by one, who are those people you saw? And why did they deserve of the punishment what you saw? So when they came to this person, they said, do you remember the one who you saw in where يُثْلَجُ رَأْسُهُ, in where his head was being shattered into pieces? ذَاكَ رَجُلٌ أَخَذَ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَرَفَضَهُ. This is a person who took by the Qur'an. What does that mean? That means this is a person who understood what the Qur'an was. He wasn't heedless about. He knew the Qur'an. He knew that this is the solution to the problems. He knew that this is the book that you're supposed to read. He knew that this is the book you're supposed to develop a relationship with. أخذ بالقرآن. He knew its significance. فرفضه. And what did he do? He neglected it. He put it on the side. Any time you came and you said, brother, Allah, he comes and he complains of a lot of problems he has. And he said to him, your solution is read some Qur'an. I know, but find me something else. Tell me about something else. This is someone, رفض القرآن. So the hadith mentioned that, أخذ بالقرآن فرفض. Look at the seriousness of it. And the second part of it, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وهو رجل ينام عن الفريضة. And he's the same person who used to neglect the fard prayer. He used to sleep straight through it. He used to neglect it. Yani, what I tell you in this hadith is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put these two crimes together. They're both as serious as each other. One, the one who neglected the Qur'an, and the one who slept through the fara'id, the one who neglected the fara'id prayers. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grouped them together. They are both in the same category when it comes to the crime they commit. They're in the same hadith. That was the punishment of that person. فَيَعْنِي سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. What you learn and understand from this is that your relationship with the salat, your relationship with the Qur'an shouldn't be anything less than that. It should not be anything less than that. يعني you see, sometimes, you know, some Muslims, those who are weak in their iman, right? But at least at the end of the day, they pray. يعني even though he forces himself, he drags himself to salat, but he prays at the end of the day. يعني even if your iman was weak, your relationship with the Qur'an is supposed to be like that. Force yourself and push yourself to it. Even though you're going to say, Allah, but I don't understand anything. Mawa, when you prayed, did you understand anything in your salat when you read? What's the difference between that and holding the Quran and read? Read, bi-idhnillah, with an intention that is pure and sincere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah and have true and correct fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Himself will teach you. الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. The most merciful, He's the one who taught the Quran. He did not use any other name of His other than Ar-Rahman. He could have used Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir, Allama Al-Qur'an, Al-Aziz, Allama Al-Qur'an, but none of that. Ar-Rahman, to teach us that, يعني, it is by the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he'll teach you some Qur'an. So beg for that rahmah of Allah azza wa jal to teach you the Qur'an. But anyway, our relationship with the Qur'an is supposed to be like your relationship with as-salat al-fariidah that you and I pray. So this is, يعني, this is the relationship one is supposed to have with the Qur'an. Now, that's the seriousness of it. Let me just speak to you now about our relationships with the Qur'an. Bi-ithnillah, what I'm hoping, inshallah ta'ala, that we understand, get an idea of what kind of relationships are we supposed to have with the Qur'an. By the way, there are five. I'll mention them now, inshallah ta'ala, with you. And then after this, we work towards establishing and implementing these relationships so that bi-ithnillah, when we're at the doors of Ramadan, when we enter Ramadan, bi-ithnillah, we understand the seriousness of a month known as the month of Qur'an. When inshallah ta'ala, our relationship with that month and the Qur'an bi-ithnillah ta'ala only gets stronger after that. So our relationship with the Qur'an, these are five, and they stem from one ayah in the Qur'an in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-Furqan, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. An ayah in Surah Al-Furqan. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes on the Day of Judgment and he has one complaint against his nation. One complaint. That's the only one complaint that is found in the Qur'an he has against his ummah on the Day of Judgment and against the people in general. He says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. He says, oh my Rabb, my Lord, these people of mine, اتَّخَذُوا, they took this Qur'an and they abandoned it. اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. But very carefully, Allah did not say, إِنَّ قَوْمِ هَجَرُوا الْقُرْآنَ, my people abandoned the Qur'an. He said the word اتَّخَذُوا. And just like that hadith I mentioned, رَجُلٌ أَخَذَ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَرَفَضَ, meaning this is a person that took by the Qur'an. In other words, he believed in it. He claimed he believed in it. And he understood its significance and importance. And he always heard lessons, we need to read, we need to read, we need to memorize, we need to this and that. And he listened to all of it. أَخَذ. He understood. But then what did he do? مَهْجُورَ. He actually, mahjura comes from the word hajr, hijra, for example. You know what hijra, what's al hijra? Migration, go from one country to another. That's how he dealt with the Qur'an. It's like he did a hijra from the Qur'an. Yani, he's so far away from it, like he's someone that migrated from the Qur'an. It's like he doesn't even, yani, in his mind, and I can read whenever I want, but he just doesn't read, right? And he keeps delaying tomorrow and on until he dies. And then he's finished and his relationship with the Qur'an is written for him as it was in this life. So, اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. This is النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم presenting a case on the Day of Judgment. Be careful, my brother, that you're not from those who are being complained against. And keep stay far away from that by your relationship with the Qur'an. What are they? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions under this ayah five relationships that one is supposed to have with the Qur'an. How does he mention them? He says that these are five ways in how people have abandoned the Qur'an. So because these are five ways in how people abandoned the Qur'an, meaning once we start implementing these five, then bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we've actually built those relationships we're supposed to have with the Qur'an. So he says, number one, these are 5 points and we end with the 5 points. He said, number one, هَجَرُوا قِرَاءَتَهُ. They neglected the Qur'an in terms of its recitation. And that's the first and the plain and the simple one. They neglected it in terms of just opening a copy of the Qur'an and starting to read. You know, subhanAllah, to understand clearly what this means. Number one, the one who doesn't read, actually the one who reads minimal Qur'an, this is a sign of nifaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an when describing the munafiq, he's saying, وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They do not remember Allah except little. And the best way of remembering Allah Azza wa Jal is through the Qur'an. This is a'zamu dhikr. This is the greatest form of dhikr, of remembrance. When Munafiq was, Allah Azza wa Jal described him by saying, he does not remember Allah except little. Yani, even the Munafiq would read, but would read minimal. Yani, imagine what more is required from a believer, what more is required from a Muslim. So recitation of the Qur'an is very important. Reading, just picking up the copy and starting to read from this Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says at the end of Surah Al-Muddathir, or at the end basically of Surah Al-Muzzammil, very serious. And wallahi, I want to share with you this ayah so you can understand what does it really mean to get up, to pick a copy of the Quran and read. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says at the end of Surah Al-Muzzammil, he says, عَلِمَ أَن سَيَكُونُ مِنْكُمْ مَرْضَى وَآخَرُونَ يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَقَرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, I know that some of you will be sick. Marda, sick. Bedridden, he can't even move. Sickness. And others will be traveling. Traveling for business, whatever it is. يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. They're traveling. And the third, وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And some are in jihad fi sabilillah. Three things are happening here. Allah says, I know some of you are sick. I know some of you are traveling. And I know some of you are fi jihadin fi sabilillah. So what's the advice? Allah Azza wa Jal says, so let me teach you what your relationship is supposed to be with the Quran. فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ. Read whatever you can read from it. يعني subhanAllah, even the one that's sick, bedridden, he can't move, he's about to die in a few days. Allah is saying to him, خلاص, no worries. I'll reduce what I want from you. Read whatever you can from it. فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ. And if you were to ponder over these three situations, these are three situations in worship, it starts to lessen. Like the sick, he can pray while sitting, or he can pray while he is laying down. And he can do tayammum. So, ahkam al-shari'ah are reduced on him. The traveler, also it's reduced. His salat of 4 rak'at becomes 2 rak'at. He doesn't have to pray the sunan al-rawatib, those before and after the salat. He's got several concessions in where he can wipe on his socks for 3 days and 3 nights. It reduced. And the mujahid fi sabilillah also has his own ahkam. He's got something called salat al-khawf. When they are on the battlefield, for example, they have 1 rak'ah in where they pray the salat, or in the salat itself, but it's in a different style. Why? The ahkam are reduced because of the situation they're in. Tayyib, for those three people, when it comes to their relationship with the Quran, what is it supposed to be? Out of all ahkam al-shari'ah, the only one Allah chose to speak in the Quran, in this ayah, was don't forget to read some of the Quran. Before it was فَقْرَأُوا مِنْ. Now here, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ. You can't read the whole Quran now, maybe because you're sick in your situation. فَأْرِيدْ some of it. فَأْرِيدْ subhanAllah. If the sick, Al-Quran wasn't removed from him and he wasn't given concession not to grab a copy and read, but what does it leave the person that is like you and I? Alhamdulillah, bi-idhnillah, healthy, or has your energy and your capacity and your intellect is with you. Alhamdulillah, you have a copy of the Quran in your phone or in the car or in the house, and mashallah, and you still aren't able to pick it up and read it as often as you're supposed to. But we got a problem there. For the first relationship we're supposed to have with the Quran is to grab a copy and open and start reading. Opening the Quran, ya akhwani, is not it's not about Allah, 10 hasanat per letter. That's the result, bi-idhnillah. You don't worry about that. Allah Azza wa Jal records it for you. He keeps it in store and keeps it in check, and it won't go anywhere. You'll see it on the Day of Judgment. But between you and I, the recitation of the Qur'an, opening the Qur'an and closing it is the difference between the paradise and the fire. This Qur'an could be the same reason for why you enter the paradise, and it could also be the same reason for why you enter Jahannam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith, وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةً لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ, that the Qur'an is either a witness for you, in other words, it'll drive you straight to the paradise, or it's حُجَّةً عَلَيْكَ, or it's a witness against you, and it'll drive him straight to Jahannam. We need to understand our first relationship with the Qur'an is reading this Qur'an. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, final point on this point, he says, when he recites قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. This is a sahih narration. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he mentions, the ayat in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We created the human being in the best of fashion, in the best of form. And then he says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. One of the strong tafsir in رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, meaning we returned him to old age. So that means he was created in the best of form. He grew old, 60, 70, whatever, 80 years old, whatever he lived. But then, أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, meaning رَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمُرِ. We returned him to old age, in where he became like a child now. He doesn't know how to eat by himself. He doesn't know how to relieve himself by himself, right? He needs so much help, just like a baby he becomes. Allah says, except those who believe and did righteous good deeds. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he says, وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ مَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ لَمْ يُرَدَّ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمُرِ. Athar sahih of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. He said, the one who recites the Qur'an will not be returned to that age in where the person becomes, he loses it, right? In that age where the person loses his mind, loses his ability to move and function and carry himself. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, عَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ did righteous good deeds here, means that the one who read the Qur'an will not be returned to that age in where he needs care and help. Allah Azza wa Jalla will preserve him, will take care of him. Subhanallah. Wal ulama rahimahumullah, they said here, man qara'a ay man hafidha al-Qur'an. The one who memorized the Qur'an, the one who committed it to memory and had it stored in his heart and in his intellect and in his mind. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu understood the situation. Back then, qara'a meant hafidha, meant he memorized the Qur'an. You can just understand what kind of relationship you're supposed to have when we say read. And when bi'idhnillah, when one reads something over and over again, well, bi'idhnillah, he memorizes it. But who, at the end of the day, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives you the ability to memorize. This is, they considered that part of the miracles of this Qur'an is that it's the only book on the face of the earth that can be memorized from cover to cover. Well, never underestimate yourself. Well, never say that, wallah, I'm very far away from that. I tried 10 years ago, impossible right now. But bi'idhnillah, ista'in billahi wa la ta'jaz, like in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gives advice to the sahabi when he teaches him about certain good deeds. He says to him, ista'in billah, seek Allah's help, wa la ta'jaz. And the last thing you should ever do is give up. Nothing, there's nothing in our deen called giving up. Giving up, look what happened to Yunus alayhi salam, when he gave up from his people in terms of the da'wah. You know the story. And he walked off on him. He said, khalas, I can't deal with these people anymore. He went, what happened to him? He got swallowed by a whale. And he remained in that belly for some ulama say 3 days, 7 days, 40 days, 40 years, there's some narrations, whatever it is. But the point is, what did he say in the belly of the whale? He said, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. I was from the wrongdoers. In other words, giving up makes you a wrongdoer. He gave up on his people. He's now acknowledging it and saying, I was min al-zalimeen. I was from the wrongdoers. Because I gave up on a good deed. Don't give up. When you give up, you oppressed yourself. You wronged yourself. وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla did not wrong anyone. You're the one who wronged your own self when you give up on certain good deeds. فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Take by the advice of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Seek Allah's help in every matter that you do, whether it's a righteous good deed or whether it's staying away from a sayyah, whatever it is. Seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you reach that goal. Ana subhanallah, there was a woman that they mentioned in Saudi Arabia that she had this intention that she wanted to memorize the Quran. She was about 80 years old. One of the du'at, Jazawumullah khair, he mentions this story. So he says she was 80 years old and she comes to one of the colleges of the Quran. And she says, I want to memorize the Quran. They said to her, Ummi, wallahi, you're 80 years old now. It's very difficult. We have students in the class. And Allah will reward you for intention. Allah, go. She says, I'm coming to memorize. It's going to happen. For a negotiation, we'll send you someone to your house. Yeah, I'm going to memorize here. They got embarrassed to turn her away. So they said, all right, bi'idhnillah, Allah, let's start. Allah, sit down. She sat in the class, they gave her a copy of the Qur'an. She opens it, and she opens it upside down. They said, she said, I don't know how to read. Ya Allah, what's this problem? She's coming, she doesn't know how to read, and she's got the Qur'an the other way around. So they said, this is how we put it, this way. So she puts it this way. And they began to teach her how to read. So she learns, at 80 years old, she learns how to read. She finishes how to read, she memorized the Qur'an. 2 years she was finished. And at 83, she died, rahimahullah. She finished the Qur'an in 2 years and the year after she died. It is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had seen the sincerity in her and had seen that intention in her. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it true for her. She memorized before she left this dunya. Yani it was like rizq that was supposed to come to her before she leaves. So that she meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that she's buried in her grave with a Quran in her heart. And that she is raised yawm al-qiyamah with a Quran in her heart. And that she is protected of the horrors and the terrors of that day with the Quran in her heart. And she stands before Allah with the last thing she did in this life was the Quran in her heart. Yani such a person, Allahu Akbar, what happens to him? And what happens to them, even in the paradise as well, what kind of level they're elevated to. They don't understand that the paradise is one level. It's all different. And the difference in the paradise is according to how much Quran you had. بعد الحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا فإن منزلتك عند آخر آية كنت تقرأها. That the thing that you're told on the day of judgment in the paradise, read and ascend and recite, for your level in the paradise is with the last ayah you used to continuously recite in this dunya. You used to continuously recite and you used to have and memorize. Even the levels in the paradise are according to the number of ayat in the Quran. 6,636 ayat. That is the levels in the paradise. Where are you from that? For this is what you're supposed to measure and try to reach as much of it as you can. For this is why we say the first one is reading the Quran, memorizing as much as you can from it. That is the first relationship that the people are supposed to have with the Quran. I'll give you one more relationship and inshallah ta'ala we'll leave the next for next week. The second relationship we're supposed to have with the Quran, my brothers, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, هَجَرُوا الْإِسْتِمَاعَ إِلَيْهِ. They neglected it in terms of that they don't listen to the Quran. Oh, this is another thing. Yani besides reading, another thing, another relationship you're supposed to have with the Quran is listening to the Quran. And if I said to you, listening more than you read, come on, that's true as well. Listening more than you read. This is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he used to listen to the Quran. For example, in the hadith, in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and he says to him, Ibn Mas'ud, read some Quran for me. Ibn Mas'ud, he's shocked. He says, Ya Rasulullah, أقرأ عليك وعليك أنزل. How do I read on you and the Quran came down on you? يعني أنا, what do you mean, I read on you? He says, اقرأ, read. فابن مسعود رضي الله عنه, what other choice does he have? He begins to read, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, and he starts with Surah النساء. He reads a couple of pages until he reaches قوله تعالى, فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا. An ayah that really touched the heart of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. It affected him. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying in the ayah, how is it going to be? Imagine that day in where we bring all the generations and all the nations from the time of when we created Adam alayhi salam until the last person that walked the face of the earth. وَجِئْنَا بِكْ, and we bring you as a witness against these people. Yani, terrifying ayah. It shook the heart of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The narration says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Ibn Mas'ud, حَسْبُكْ, stop, enough. So then Ibn Mas'ud says, and I looked at Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, فَإِذَا عَيْنَاهُ تَذْرِفَان, he began to tease صلى الله عليه وسلم, he began to cry because of this ayah. Now العلماء رحمهم الله, they said, listening to the Quran has a much, يعني, a deeper effect on the person than him reading the Quran. Listening to the Quran, you are more affected in listening to the Quran than reading the Quran. First proof for it was, look, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is crying as a result of listening to the Quran. For listening to the Quran is one of the reasons for why one is touched by the Quran and one is actually affected by this Quran, listening to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-Anfal, he says, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. He says, when the ayat are recited unto them, and if it's recited unto them, what does that make them? The listeners. What, as a result, what happens? Listening to the Quran, what happens? He said, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. It increases their iman. For what we conclude is listening to the Quran increases the iman. Listening to the Quran from that hadith would actually penetrate through the heart. And even, yani subhanAllah, how many people listen to the Quran? Non-Muslims or non-Arabs that don't understand a single word, and they're moved by the Quran just by listening to it. And they begin to cry and they feel something with this Quran. And as Allah Azza wa Jal describes, تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ, that the skin even feels it, and the hair stands up. This is mentioned in the Quran as a result and an effect of what happens to people that listen to the Quran. No doubt, listening to the Quran is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it's one of the relationships you're supposed to have with the Quran. Listening to the Quran, one of the other results of it is that it's a source of mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا. What's the result? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That when the Quran is being recited, then استمعوا, listen attentively. وَأَنصِتُوا, and don't say a single word. أَنصِتُوا, in other words, complete silence and complete attention. And if you listen in that manner and that attitude, what's the result? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that you may attain the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, remember, الرحمن علم القرآن. فيعني أنت, you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah to learn the Quran. Listening to the Quran would bring you Allah's rahmah, and as a result would bring you even closer to memorizing the Quran. وأنا والله, I share something with you personal. أنا, the way I memorized the Quran was by listening to it. I did not know how to read at that time. يعني, if you gave me the mushaf, I can follow, but I can't read. And the first time I read the Quran, yani the first time I heard it was the first time I memorized it. Very simple. Ahmed Sheikh Yasser is with us. He probably has another story as well. Well, everyone that memorized the Quran has a story with it. Listening to the Quran, this is essential, very important. And those who have children, make sure يعني, that they listen to the Quran from when they're young, from when they're in the cot, when they're in the bed. What's the kid doing when he's in the bed? Nothing. I'll put some Quran for it. Let him listen over and over, 24/7, doesn't matter. Just keep it up in the car. يعني, have a CD, a Quran inside, listen to it. On the phone, يعني, change everything of what you have of audio, put it in, put the Quran on it, and just wherever you go, wherever you come, listen, and Quran, wallahi, listening to it, it brings so much khushu' to the person, more than him reading the Quran, as al-ulama rahimahumullah mentioned. This is يعني, very logical, because when you read, you're busy reading. You're busy working out the word after and the letter after with tajweed, with ahkam, and so your whole concentration goes for that. But listening to the Quran, until you sit, you're relaxed, or you're listening properly, you're listening perfectly, and all you have time to is just to concentrate. Then it's closer to understanding and contemplating this Quran. These are the two relationships, my brothers, that we're supposed to have with the Quran. Number one, reading the Quran. And as much as you read, as much as you listen as well. يعني, we end with that bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, insha'Allah ta'ala, next week. I'll continue with the other three relationships that we're supposed to have with the Quran. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a personal and a close relationship with the Quran. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Quran, people of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innahu waliyu thalika al-qadiru alayhi. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.